It's been 2 months since a gunman killed 11 people celebrating the Lunar New Year at a ballroom dance studio in Monterey Park, California. The shooting put a spotlight on Asian elders and their love of dancing. The dance halls are places to gather, make new friends, and have some fun for seniors in the Asian community. Women such as Beverly Jane, who at 94 likes to dress up for her weekly visit to a ballroom in Oakland.
Now, since I'm so old, I just do dancing to keep my heart rate, you know, up and stretch my muscle.
San Francisco Chronicle reporter and Fifth Emission podcast host Cecilia Lay recently spent time at some dance halls across the San Francisco Bay Area, and she's here to tell us more. Cecilia, welcome.
Deepa, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
So, Cecilia, what I loved about your podcast episode that's specifically on this is that I feel like it could have been very somber and focused on the trauma that rightly must have come from the mass shootings. Mm-hmm. But this feels like a large dose of Asian joy while also digging into the traumatic after effects.
Yeah, I think you framed it right. I think after the tragedy, I was, and I think a lot of people were, looking for stories about Asian joy. And I think that this dance studio that I visited, where you just heard Beverly Jane dances there once a week, she travels there from San Mateo to Oakland to do that. It has so much infectious joy there. I went there the Thursday night after the shooting, so just within the same week. And I think I expected it to be sort of somber in there, and it was the opposite. I think I grinned underneath my mask the whole time while I was watching them dance. They do this thing called social dance where every 3 minutes they switch partners, the songs change, and they're just spinning and twirling with one another. And I asked them, like, you know, how are they feeling? And a lot of them just said, hey, you know, life has to go on. And it's just become a part of this American experience where we know a mass shooting can happen anywhere, but this is such a sacred space for them. They make this almost like a religious ritual that they do every week. And all I really felt there in that space, which I personally really appreciated, was a lot of joy and a lot of playfulness, which is something that we just haven't been hearing about recently, especially when it comes to the Asian elderly.
Yeah, let's listen to another dancer who you encountered, Shirley Chan.
Since I already been dancing for a while, I come here for a long time. So I think it's time for me to spend some time to lead the new people. That's a help to and make more people involved and they like it.
What is it about ballroom dancing, Cecilia, that captivates Asian seniors?
Well, it's interesting because dancing actually traces all the way back to the early 20th century in AAPI communities. Colonialism, cultural imperialism brought the dancing to East and Southeast Asian countries, and it just became this really popular hobby. And so when Asian immigrants came to the U.S., they brought that pastime with them, and they've continued it for generations. For them, I think it's a space for them to exercise. I heard that a lot, you know, it makes them sweat, it makes them stretch and move their muscles. But what I also heard a lot of, it's where they can make friends. And you have to think about, a lot of these folks are immigrants. They've grinded and they've worked and hustled, built their families in the U.S. for 40, 50 years. And suddenly they have all this free time and they want to stay engaged with their community. And so ballroom dancing is a way for them to do that. And especially during the pandemic, what I heard was when all these spaces closed down, they felt a real loss in their personal lives. Mm. So this isn't just about mental or physical exercise. It's about community connection. And it's a really sacred space for them to do that with one another.
And some of what you're saying there, you know, I heard in your podcast, and one of the people who was talking about that was Malcolm Young, who's the executive director of the Chinatown Community Development Center, CCDC. It's a nonprofit. And he was talking about how these dance studios can provide seniors with a sense of self-realization, especially after a tragedy like the mass shooting.
You know, when people come together like that, and I think particularly seniors, it's also a space for them to realize, I think their own significance, their own power, their own agency, and being able to sort of direct their own lives. And I think these are the kinds of spaces that can actually move you and your own internal identity from victim to actor.
So I'm wondering here, is being together helping seniors recover from the trauma? Because there is feeling good and a lot of joy in dancing, but that doesn't take away the reality that, you know, there's also a lot of trauma, not just from the shootings, but we know here in the San Francisco Bay Area, Asian elders became direct targets during the pandemic, you know, just walking down the street.
Right. And I want to make a distinction here because the Oakland Ballroom Studio I mentioned, that group of Asian seniors were mostly middle to upper class, and they have sort of the resources to get themselves to the studio, pay for the classes. But when we talk about low-income Asian seniors, Chinese seniors in San Francisco, which there's a large population of, those spaces become more limited. They don't have the retirement savings or the money to go to something like that on a weekly basis. So it's really important, and what you heard Malcolm describe there is, how do we make sure that we create these spaces for folks to come to? And especially in a city like San Francisco, where, as you said, the Asian elderly have seen violence and attacks happen to them randomly. So I did hear from those dancers in San Francisco that some of them are pretty scared to still walk out. One woman I spoke to, which you heard from earlier, Shirley Chan, she only goes out during the daytime. She takes the bus to the community center to do ballroom dancing, but she carries pepper spray, a personal alarm with her. But they sort of move through that fear, and they don't want to be locked in their homes. They reference the pandemic over and over again and how hard it was for them to stay at home and not see one another. So there is a lot of fear, maybe not directly tied to the Monterey Park shooting, but just sort of this atmosphere of being randomly attacked on the streets. And that's a real fear for them, but they don't let it rule their lives, which I think is something we're not hearing as much of anymore.
Well, Cecilia, I'd love to take us back to the joy part of this as we end. And for those of us who may be new to ballroom dancing, it does involve a bunch of different kinds of dances, the waltz, the foxtrot. Were the dancers into trying all these different dances?
Yeah, I mean, they see it as like a mental exercise. There's like levels to it. The learning never stops. They have to take classes. Some of them hire private instructors to help them with them. But no one can just like go onto a ballroom dance floor and just do that. So what I was witnessing, these pairs spinning and twirling with each other, those are folks that have years under their belt of training and classes to do that. And then in the other ballroom space that I went to, that community center, you know, those are folks that are teaching one another. There's a lot of technical instruction and steps to it. And I was very impressed with their mental agility. I was asked several times to dance with them. They know what they're doing, and it's very, very impressive.
Reporter Cecilia Lay is the host of the San Francisco Chronicle's daily podcast, Fifth Emission. Thank you, Cecilia.
Thank you so much, Deepa.